Rob Young is the director of the Program for the Study of Developed Shorelines and a professor of coastal geology at Western Carolina University. Thanks very much for your time.
Happy to be here.
The Coastal Barrier Resources Act was enacted into law by Congress in 1982. Is the act at risk today?
It is. There are currently 9 bills before Congress that would weaken the act.
But isn't it periodically updated anyway?
Well, Congress is charged with making corrections to the map if there were mapping errors or if there are additions needed to the Coastal Barrier Resources System. But what we have going on right now is more than that.
Well, what is inherently wrong with updating maps?
Well, there's nothing wrong with updating the maps if you're making small changes to correct an error from a period when maps were made largely by hand. But what we're seeing is an effort to take entire communities out of the restrictions from the Coastal Barrier Resources Act, and that would be a costly mistake.
You testified that the science is clear. Explain what you meant by that.
Well, the Coastal Barrier Resources Act was designed to prevent federal funds from pouring into barrier island areas that were undeveloped in the late 1970s and early 80s. And the reason for that was the science of coastal hazards. We understand that barrier islands are the most vulnerable coastal areas. They're subject to shoreline erosion, to storm inundation, to inlet processes where there can be very rapid changes. So there was a scientific understanding that barrier islands are incredibly vulnerable and that the federal government should not play a role in encouraging people to develop those areas that were, at the time, undeveloped.
You testified that the original act, dating back to 1982, was a combination of science and a free market approach to risk reduction. Did you see the original legislation as reasonable legislation?
It was a very reasonable compromise. It was a bipartisan act. It was signed by Ronald Reagan. The idea was we had this understanding that these coastal barrier islands are incredibly vulnerable to coastal hazards and storms. And therefore, federal funds should not be encouraged to develop those areas, but the act does not prevent them from being developed. Rather, the act takes a free market solution. If individual investors choose to build homes, build communities, or develop areas that are within the Coastal Barrier Resource System, they do so at their own risk, and they have to absorb the cost of that development. So if it makes sense economically to develop the area, then the development could move forward, but without federal subsidies.
Is the compromise then in jeopardy? And are we looking at just an expansion of the market-based experiment?
Actually, what's happening is an effort within these 9 bills to move significant areas out of the Coastal Barrier Resources System, which would then make them eligible for all of the federal subsidies that we throw into the coastal zone. So federal highway funds, federal flood insurance, federal funds for coastal protection like beach nourishment projects, all of that.
Your testimony focuses on Dauphin Island, Alabama. Why did you choose Dauphin Island?
Well, Dauphin Island, Alabama is a perfect example of why developing barrier islands is a bad idea and how the federal government has taken a series of policies that cause people to make bad decisions. Dauphin Island, Alabama has received presidential disaster declarations 7 times in the last 25 years. Just through the public assistance from the disaster declaration, we've poured about $80 million into the west end of Dauphin Island for less than 400 homes. And they've paid about $9 million, a little more than $9 million in federal flood insurance premiums, and they've received over $72 million in payouts. So here's the perfect example where we understand that Dauphin Island, Alabama, from a scientific perspective, is incredibly vulnerable. It's been destroyed multiple times by multiple storms, and it will happen again, no question about it. Yet, we continue to subsidize the rebuilding of that barrier island, and we should be subsidizing things that we want to happen. But in this case, we use federal funds to subsidize bad decision-making. And the Coastal Barrier Resources Act was designed to prevent that from happening. to pull those federal subsidies out of the equation.
You are critical of the federal flood insurance program. Why isn't there a role for government where the private sector chooses not to step up and provide coverage?
The federal flood insurance program was originally created to support people who were doing things that we wanted them to do. So it was supporting largely farming families and farming communities, people in their primary residence living in river floodplains like the Great Mississippi floodplain, farming, doing something that was everybody in the nation benefits from. There was never this intention that we would extend the federal flood insurance program to investment property in resort communities. And this is largely what we have on the Barrier Islands. The vast majority of that property is investment property. It's second homes. On the oceanfront in North Carolina, more than 95% of the property is investment property at second homes. And I don't think that the federal government has any business subsidizing the risk of investing in those particular areas.
Millions of people enjoy access to our coastal waters. It sounds as if you are rejecting the argument that federal insurance is necessary to protect the coastal economy.
Well, you know, we're told quite frequently that the coastal economy is a multi-billion dollar economy annually here in North Carolina. And it's worth hundreds of billions of dollars annually in the entire United States of America. Well, if that economy is so robust and so strong and powerful, I don't understand why they need the federal subsidies in order to provide coastal protection and to do the rebuilding and to provide non-market-based insurance. If this economy is so robust, then they ought to be able to find a way to take 1 or 2 or 3% of it, put it someplace, sequester it, pool the risk, and cover the risk of being there themselves. It's always been a false argument to me that they need the federal dollars in order to support this vital economy. Well, the economy ought to be able to support itself.
Your testimony, again, focuses on Dauphin Island, Alabama. Could it have as easily used a North Carolina example?
We certainly have Barrier Island communities in North Carolina that have received multiple disaster declarations that are very low elevation and are almost as vulnerable as Dauphin Island, Alabama. Every state has their Dauphin Islands, and we have them here in North Carolina as well.
Although you didn't choose to comment on the legitimacy of any of the claims made in these various bills, you did suggest that Congress consider expanding the Coastal Barrier Resources System.
You know, my worst nightmare is that we lose this one sensible coastal policy that we have at the federal level, and that it will die a death of a thousand cuts from small bills like these that we have before us, these nine bills. What I would rather see is that we maintain the lines that we drew. You have to draw the line somewhere. And in addition to that, I would like to see us expand the Coastal Barrier Resources Act to those communities that have had multiple disaster payouts that we know are going to be costing us tens of millions, if not billions of dollars into the future. And Dauphin Island, Alabama is a perfect example. Dauphin Island, Alabama needs two more strikes, you're out. Three strikes, you're out. Something like that. Or maybe I should say two strikes, you're in. Two more strikes and you're in, COBRA. No more federal subsidies. And I think if that happens, the folks who live in those communities are going to care a lot more about the science of coastal hazards. Right now, they are so heavily subsidized by the federal government that they don't even need to care about the science. They don't need to care about sea level rise. All they need to care about is how fast they can get their funds to rebuild. You know, David, folks have often said to me, gosh, those people in Dauphin Island must be crazy to rebuild over and over again after all those storms. And they're not crazy. They're making a perfectly sensible economic decision based on the subsidies that they get. The folks who are crazy are you and I, because we're the ones who've been allowing it to happen for the last 25 years.
Rob Young is the director of the Program for the Study of Developed Shorelines and a professor of coastal geology at Western Carolina University. Thanks very much.
My pleasure.